Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Once again, yes, you're tuned to your favorite learning station, Radio Islam. It's now for the question and the answer session with the Mufti Ilyas Saab. And remember, dear listeners, this is your program. Any doubt you have in your mind, any questions, any queries, now's the chance to call in and inshallah clarify all those concerns and all those doubts. And remember, by you asking the question, we all learn. So inshallah, pick up the phone. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And the SMS number to send your SMS questions, the cell phone number rather, is 082-580-8070. And the fax number is 011-854-7024. Yes, I would like to welcome Mufti Ilyas Saab on the question and answer session. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamualaikum
warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Yeah, JazakAllah for your time. Inshallah, may Allah reward you. And we really look forward to spending the next hour with you. Musa, we have a number of questions. The one is, the brother wants to know with regards to istikhara. He says, I've heard the word istikhara mentioned quite a few times. And could you kindly explain what is istikhara and what is the method of istikhara?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Basically, istikhara is a salat performed and a dua made to seek divine assistance and guidance. For example, a person, he does not know whether to buy the shop or rent it. He does not know whether to move in that area or not. He does not know whether to marry or not. So the Shariat has prescribed a method whereby this person can seek divine assistance and guidance. So basically, it will be two rakats of nafil salat, and there is a dua to be recited. And hypothetically speaking, if a person does not know that dua, then he may raise his hands after that, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pleading for guidance in that particular manner. Subsequently, preferably without any other activities, going to sleep. Then, on awakening, where the mind and the heart is inclined to do or not to do, that person can take that as a sign. For istikhara, people are under the impression that one must be a dream, a very colorful dream, etc. That is not necessary. Or no angel is going to come and tell you, necessarily do this or that. Or no saintly person is going to come and tell you, do this or that. Basically, it is the inclination of the heart whether to do an activity or not after performance of that two rakat and the dua. And then, what your heart is inclined towards, you should regard that as a sign in that direction. Generally, istikhara is made for 7 days. Another point I would like to mention is that once you receive your answer or your direction, even if it's in the first night, it's not necessary to continue for the next 6 nights. And if you get it with 3-4 nights, then you can suspend, and it's not necessary to continue. For more information, go to our website, alislam.co.za. There is a book called Nafil Salat, Sunnat Salat, Qaza Salat. Therein I have explained in detail the procedure of the performance of istikhara salat.
Alright, and just to listeners, that istikhara is not just confined to proposals and marriages, but istikhara can be made for all matters. In other words, you are seeking help from Allah Azza wa Jal. We go on further, Mufti Saab. The other question is that is it permissible for Muslims to study law and become lawyers?
It is permissible for Muslims to study the law of the kuffar, whether it is Roman Dutch law, whether it is English law or French law. And it would be good for the Muslims to have personnel studying the kuffar law so that they can appease and advise the Muslims in that country as to how they should regulate their life in conformance with the Sharia, first of all, and by so doing, they should study the kuffar law so a Muslim can, first of all, act upon the Sharia and also be within the framework of the kuffar law, which is 9 out of 10 times, or in most cases, oppressive in nature, and not definitely divine.
Alright, we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I think we lost a caller. Brother or sister, please to call us back. We go on for the next question. Is Muslim Sub, I think it's about alright, it says Salam, Senha have withdrawn certification on certain products from a particular company. I work in a Muslim man's shop and he stocks these products but refuses to pull them off the shelves. Is it permissible to assist in sales of such products?
You are working in the shop. First of all, just let me just tell you about the last question, that once becoming a lawyer, then it is the Muslim duty bound not to defend those who are doing wrong and who are definitely guilty of a crime of common nature, and the crime is of such nature that Islamic law and the Kufar law classify it as a crime, then the Muslim lawyer should not willfully, voluntarily, purposefully defend such criminals and such rascals.
Alright, before we go to the next question, I think we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum, brother, do you have a question?
Just to know that yesterday on Radio Islam, they were speaking about a show last night. It was about cinemas and whatever, so I just don't know if it's correct that they were speaking on Radio Islam about the cinemas and it, but the new mall is opening up, so just to know if Mutisak can just speak on it, just tell us what's...
Brother, just hold on, the time, sir, you got a question.
What was the... they were discussing this, or they promoting it, or what was...
Jee, brother, clarify, please.
No, they were discussing this new mall that's opening.
Jee.
So they mentioned that it's going to come with cinemas and all that, so we're talking on the radio. So I just want to know that... I don't know whether it was meant to promote... They're actually promoting the mall. So the topic of the discussion of the cinemas came into the cinemas and everything. I was thinking that on Radio Islam they were discussing this. Nobody even. So, is that correct? Like, I don't know.
Alright, so that's a little bit cold, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So, for any Muslim radio station to promote un-Islamic activities is absolutely haram, whether it be this station or any other Muslim station, to advertise anything that is Shari haram is illegal according to the Sharia. And a Muslim station should not promote, encourage, foster those who are going to come and promote the cinemas and places of sin, activities of sin, via the radio station. They should not encourage and not allow those who are going to utilize this radio station or any other Muslim radio station for the upliftment and promotion of batil, falsehood, kufr, shirk, innovation, sin, oppression, transgression. Anything that is disobedient to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam should not be promoted via any Muslim radio station.
Alright. So we come back to the question about Sanha with regards to the withdrawn certification of certain products, and says the brothers refuses to pull them off the shelves.
That person who is working in that particular shop should not terminate his services. However, he should try and not sell those products physically, because he is just an employee working there, and he should try to convince his director as to not sell those products which are dubious, doubtful, and especially if they are haram categorically, he should try to convince his director not to promote, sell, and buy or sell haram products. However, this person here should also, these days, it is a method you can avoid selling it yourself, although you are employee in that particular place. For example, those who are working, Muslims who are working in huge, huge supermarkets, etc., which are run by the enemies of Islam, so we do not want them to leave their jobs, but obviously they are not going to be selling physically per se the haram product.
Alright, Zakhlam. We have a question on the screen. It says, can you use cream that has alcohol on your face, Lisa?
This will be permissible.
It will be permissible. Alright. Then we go on further. The next question is, what exceptions are there in Islam not to grow a beard?
Not to grow a beard.
Yes.
First of all, that there are certain communities and societies and certain nations in the world that naturally the facial hair does not grow. So they will grow as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed for them to flow. That means, for example, the Chinese and Japanese, etc., some of them cannot naturally grow their beard like how, for example, those who are from India, Indo-Pak subcontinent, or, for example, the Muslims living in South Africa. Now, those people will let their facial hair flow as much as it is humanly possible. That's one. Secondly, that for medical reasons, if a person, for example, now is going under some sort of treatment and the hair on the face begins to fall off, then he will obviously allow that. He got no control of it. However, he will not trim the beard or shave the beard for that cause. If it's falling off naturally, he should leave it like that. Thirdly, if there is going to be an operation on that area where the beard is going to grow, then it will be permissible to remove that part of the beard. Fourthly, if that person develops some sort of eczema, a skin disease on the face, and that is beneath the beard, then for medical reasons, he will be allowed to remove the beard to apply the necessary ointment and treatment. Once the skin has recovered, then he will grow the beard again.
All right, JazakAllah. So we have another question about the beard as well, but we'll come to that.
Yes.
The next question is it permissible to take part in a fishing competition where you pay to participate and there are prizes to be won?
The person who is going to go for that particular activity should not go with the intention of competition. He should go with the intention that I am participating so that I can catch some fish and then feed myself and the neighborhood and also send some to the Molana.
Okay. And the brother wants to have a fishing competition. Brother Howard taking me on. Coming back to the beard question, the brother says, I am 18 years of age. I am trying to grow a beard, but my mommy thinks I'm too young and says I don't need to keep it now. I can keep it after I'm 22 or 23. Some advice on this?
This is a very typical and important question which needs to be addressed and needs to be understood, first of all. Firstly, a person, a good Muslim, righteous young boy, should not cut or shave or place any blade or razor upon his face. He should let the beard flow. The hadith is clear on this, and he should let the facial hair grow, and when it is fist length, then he is allowed to trim it. Also, that we should also realize that to trim the fist length part of Sunnah. There's a tendency these days of letting the beard grow unkempt after the fist length. Now the youngster, his mother is advising him completely against the Sharia. And the law of the Sharia is very clear that when the makhluk wants you to do, when the creation wants you to do something which is in disobedience to the creator, then the creation in that case will not be followed. The hadith is very clear on that aspect. So here the mother is instructing and ordering and commanding the son to engage in a un-Islamic haram activity, to shave, to trim the beard less than the fish length is haram according to the four schools of thought even. No school of thought differs on this. No mazhab differs on this issue. Now, perhaps the mother feels that my son will not be able to get a suitable wife, that is why I let him shave. This is completely un-Islamic concept and it should be discarded forthwith. And especially those who are now going to so-called Muslim environments and the educational institute, they should never touch their facial hair, they should allow their beards to grow. The youngster should in this case obey Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is not listening to his mother, will not earn the displeasure and wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alright, so JazakAllah, stop into the listeners. Remember the number to call is 011-854-1548, and the cell phone number to send your SMS question is 082-580-8070. We have another question on the computer screen. It says, is Jumu'ah namaz for women? If yes, what khutbah do they listen to?
There are various activities which are not obligatory, not faraz, and not wajib for the female. This is clearly substantiated from the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, jama' salah, salat in congregation, that is not wajib, not necessary for women to perform. Similarly, jihad. A lady came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked that the men are superseding us and they are preceding us in sawab. They are going forward in sawab because they perform salat in jama'ah and they go out in jihad, etc. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that their jihad is performance of hajj and also performance of umrah and also staying in their homes, tending to the needs of their husband. So salat with jamaat is not necessary. Jihad, not necessary for women. Similarly, visiting of graveyard, not necessary for women. Also, attending of jum'ah. So we're getting jum'ah or the jim, jamaat or the jim, and jihad or the jim. These are not necessary for these females to perform. And they will be rewarded by not performing those. So when there is no jum'ah faraz on the females, the question of listening to khutbah or anything does not arise.
Alright, so the next question is with regards to placenta. Can one use cream that contains placenta?
What they say, it is made out of that.
No, it just says, can you use cream that contains placenta?
I do not know whether this is a placenta of halal animals, or I do not know what kind of placenta. I do not know, I cannot.
You can see the answer, please. Brother, please to call us and clarify the question. We have a brother on the line, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I've got a question for Mufti sir.
Gee, go ahead,
in
brother.
The absence of the appointed imam of the masjid, who should go on the musalla? A hafiz who recites well, but generally trims his beard below the level and walks around without sleeve, or a person who is always correctly dressed, has a correct beard, but does not recite the Quran with 100% tajweed.
Alright, very important question, Fisa, the response.
This is also, as you stated, Malana, that this is important. Should be listened to carefully. First of all, that the hafiz who trims a beard is a fasik and fajr, is a transgressor, disobedient fellow. And let alone the faraz salat, he will not be allowed to perform the taraweeh salat or lead the taraweeh salat in the masjid. So there is a stern warning and strong admonition against the one who trims the beard. The one who trims the beard, shaves the beard, is a fasik, fajr, transgressor, evildoer, disobedient fellow. Now in the case stipulated by the caller, we will not allow that hafizab, although he may be reading in a melodious voice, or he may be reading correctly. Yeah, I would like to mention one point also. You'll find a lot of hufaz reading in melodious voices, but their tajweed need not be correct. But melodious does not necessitate the validity of the qira'ah, the tajweed laws. Many times the musallis are under the wrong impression. They feel this person reciting melodiously, sweetly, and meanwhile he's making blunders upon errors about his qira'at and tajweed. He stated a person who is bashara, who has got a fully fledged beard, and although he's not reciting the Quran perfectly, he will be put forth to lead the salat. As far as the law of tajweed is concerned, then we will make a differentiation of the reciter concerning the reciter, whether he is making such errors which are distorting the meaning of Quran, or whether he is making minor errors. And in most cases, the reciters make minor errors, not major errors.
Alright, JazakAllah Mustafa, as you mentioned, very important to read the Quran with tajweed. It's Allah's command, it's Muratil al-Quran al-Tatila. And the ulama kiram have mentioned that Allah refers to, or ulama kiram have mentioned that reciting the Quran Kareem with tajweed is meant here. So the next question is, if an imam has injured his leg and is unable to sit in a proper tashahhud position, can he still be the imam?
Yes, he still can be the imam.
He can still be the imam, JazakAllah. Then we go on, the next question is, I would like to know if it's permissible to have photos of family members as long as the females wear headscarves or the hijab.
Photography, according to us, is not permissible in Islam. Photography will be permissible for dire necessity or for essential usage. For example, the visa photograph or the passport photograph or the identity photograph. Photography cannot be made permissible for on the grounds of a person is not baligh or baligh. Photography is not permissible in Islam according to us, and it should be avoided. This keeping of photographs leads to emotionalism. Then, because people are sentimental in nature, they eventually keep them in albums, and if something sad happens, there is a demise or death or a tragedy or sudden death, then they go back to these albums, weep and cry and mourn, and this Islam definitely does not want and encourage.
Alright, JazakAllah, we go on further. It says, Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible for a Muslim to trade in cigarettes that are illegal due to taxes not being paid at the border?
This question is twofold. One is to buy and sell cigarettes. According to our opinion, it is permissible to buy and sell cigarettes. However, because of the ill effects of smoking, this will become a makruh activity. And the question posed that the cigarettes are coming into the country without paying the taxes or duties, or they're coming in illegally, a deception is a deception and definitely cannot be sanctioned or condoned in Islam. That activity is definitely not correct, not valid, not legal in the light of Sharia.
Alright, you go on further. It's with regards to Jadu and Nazar. The question is, I want to ask about black magic and Nazar. If someone is under the spell of Jadu or bad Nazar, then what must that person do, and how can we find out who did this?
First of all, that concerning Jadu or Nazar, that go and to seek out who has done this is not conducive for any good Islamic behavior pattern. A Muslim should not go and seek out who did this and who did not do this, because eventually you are going to meet an amil, a person who deals in taking out the jadu and the nazar. And unfortunately, here too, most of the amils, they are professional thugs, they are professional con artists, and they are there to rip off the ignorant, gullible Muslim public, and they create domestic dissension and they create great problems by telling the public or telling the one affected that so and so in your family or so and so has done this. This is all conjecture, this is nothing kati, not categorical, this is all conjecture, meaning zanni, and there is no basis of believing in it or acting upon this. Also, that as far as jadu or nazar, how to make out nazar is very easy. A person who is affected by nazar, generally his face or the face of the person will be like flushed, meaning that yellowish in color or shocked up in nature. For example, if you are traveling behind, you are standing in a buggy or in a truck, and all of a sudden your friend tells you that duck, there is a branch on the way, and you lower your head, and when you come up realizing that you have been missed by the branch, then your face is all flushed up. That's how a person generally looks when there is nazar on him. And the babies generally cry, unnecessarily screech, and they do not want to look at the mother. As far as that is concerned, recite the last two surahs of the Quran, inshallah that will aid in removing the nazar. As far as jadu, recite the last two surahs, Ayatul Kursi, and also the manzil that has been prepared by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh, but blow in the water and drink it. And it is not necessary that to go door to door, from Molana to Molana, Amil to Amil, to address the situation of jadu and nazar or nazar. Most of the time, this is psychological in nature.
All right, so very important with full conviction. Let's try to read the four pulls together with Ayatul Kursi, inshallah, and with the mansin, Allah will protect us. We go on further. The next question is, Musabit says, if a person passes away in an accident and their bodies are crushed, broken, and smashed, does this person achieve the status of a shaheed? Please explain. Jazakallah.
The shaheed in Islam will be categorized two ways. Maybe there are two types of shaheed. One is hafiki, one, and the second is hukmi. Hafiki, that means in the reality. And hukmi, coming in the order of, falling in the order of. To understand this, for example, we have got wuzu, and then we have got tayammum. And tayammum is the substitute for wuzu. Wuzu is the original, and tayammum is the substitute. Now, with tayammum, you can do what you can do with wuzu, but in reality, in fact, it is not wuzu. And wuzu is the original, tayammum is the substitute. So wuzu is hakiki, method of purification, and tayammum comes in the order. So in shaheed, you got the same two types. One is hakiki, in reality, and the other is hukmi, coming in the order. Hakiki shaheed, in reality, that shaheed who goes out to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the upliftment of the kalima and protection and defense of deen of Islam, and in so doing, dies, passes away, attains martyrdom. So he is in reality. His kafan, dafan is all different, there is no ghusl for him, etc. But the person who comes in the order, there are many in nature. For example, the one who dies of ulcer, the one who dies from epidemic or famine, the one who dies in an accident, the one who dies while giving birth, the one who dies when the wall has fallen upon him, the one who dies in defending his good and was in the process shot or killed. So there are many types of this, the hukmi one. And the one who has passed away in a road accident also comes in that order. We make dua for that, those people.
Inshallah, may Allah forgive them all. Ameen. We can't further much. The next question is, the brother wants to know, he says, what about visiting a Muslim house which sells alcohol? The person sells alcohol. He says his wife is my relative. Do I have to cut off her relation?
Yeah, first of all, the person is a Muslim but engaged in this heinous crime and sin, in this major sin of selling alcohol. And the one who sells alcohol, eventually he becomes one consuming alcohol. So the person should not severe relation with that person's wife. He should maintain the relationship. By maintaining the relationship, I am not saying that you should visit that home. If that home is only selling alcohol, then definitely you should ostracize yourself away from those people and not go there. But if they have got any other source of income, then you should still maintain relationship, or you, by doing so, will salvage. And by your maintaining your relationship, you'll be able to keep the door of communication open for deliberation, admonition, advice giving. If you completely cut yourself out, then you are not going to be able to discuss with that person involved in this heinous crime. And at every proper given good opportunity, you should be discussing this issue and admonishing that person accordingly, so that he can abstain from the wrath of Allah, from earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should, provided the lady that you are talking to is your mahram, then you can talk to them and visit her and admonish them and teach them how to stay away from this vile sin.
Alright, Jazakallah Musa. We're going further. A number of questions have come through in the last 10 minutes. The next one is, he says, Salam, habit away on the left. Jazakallah, what is the response?
That hadith, Antashabba bikum min fawwa minhum, whosoever imitates a nation becomes one of them, that hadith has been not understood properly. We have translated that hadith as, whosoever imitates and practices the religious activities of a nation becomes one of them. So, by one nation, if they are stirring their sugar and sugar by dissolving the sugar by stirring the cup from a clockwise, in a clockwise manner, to do it anti-clockwise is not conforming to that hadith. Yes, that their religious activities and beliefs, especially their shirky activities, definitely we should abstain from. So if you wear your watch on the right or the left, inside or outside, does not make any difference. You should wear it for your convenience and for your comfort and your ease. To wear it on this side or that side, that is no sign of a good Muslim or bad Muslim. The shiars are those distinguishing signs of a Muslim. For example, the beard, the hat, the azan, the kurta, and the hijab. These are the signs externally displaying and showing who is a Muslim and not Muslim.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. We go on further. The next question is, brother wants to know, is it permissible to take medication that contains alcohol?
The alcohol in the medications, we are not at the moment clear whether this is synthetic alcohol, whether this is artificial alcohol, whether this is the same alcohol used to make one person drunk and make him in a state of intoxication, put him into that state of intoxication. And if you can avoid, or if you can avoid it, and you have got the financial capacity and means to buy a medicine which does not have this alcohol which is in question, then you must do it. If you are financially short, and if you do not have the financial capability and capacity to buy the medicine which does not have the alcohol, then you may do so, and also try as far as possible to be minimum in the intake.
Alright, JazakAllah, we're going further. Musab, is it better, brother says, to give my sister charity or give it to strangers, which is more beneficial?
Charity, I will say that as far as charity is concerned, it should, according to all the great scholars, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has written extensively on this, that we should cater for our immediate relatives first, and then the neighbors, and then the locality, and then outside. These days, unfortunately, that especially those who are generous, so-called generous and hospitable and classified as very charitable in nature, they do not bother about their own kith and kin, and they do not take care of their immediate families, and they do not show concern for their brothers, sisters, mother and father. But when it comes to show form glory, they want to give out huge sums and big checks to other organizations doing very good work. They definitely will get rewarded for it. But there is definitely far more reward when you help those who have got rights of blood and rights of relationship. You should aid those who are under your nose first, then try to aid others. So preference must be given to those who are close to you by way of family, blood, etc.
We have about another 6 questions before we conclude. The next one is, it says, this question is pertaining to my late father's estate. The brothers and sisters have a mashwara regularly, but the one brother is not invited to this discussion. Is this discussion valid?
This is no mashwara. It is classified mashwara. Mashwara means that you should try to get all the concerned parties involved so that you can come to a shari valid conclusion or resolution. By leaving out one important component of the mashwara and one of the important council members of the mashwara, this is no decision-making procedure as far as Islam is concerned.
Alright, JazakAllah for that, Musab. The next question is from, I think, a youngster. It says, I would like to know, there is a competition taking place, but I am doubting its cause. At that place, there is swearing and intermingling. I'm also young. Should I go or not go?
Very interesting. You should not go, and you should also enjoy what is good and forbid what is evil, and voice clearly that function is un-Islamic, and maybe there may be so-called righteous and noble people who are trying to activate and motivate that so-called function where these haram illegal activities are going to be perpetrated and done. You yourself should not go there and also encourage others not to participate in the evil gathering full of sin and vice.
Alright, alhamdulillah, you know, in these days of fitna and fasad, it's still, there are still many, many youth out there, alhamdulillah, who are very, very conscious of the deen, and this is really encouraging. We go on further. Assalamu alaikum. Would like to know, the brother says, in the fard of fajr, if one reads qunut nazila and gets stuck, is sajda is sahwa compulsory? If not, what is the circumstance if one made the sajda?
If one made the sajda, the salat is valid. And if a person got stuck in the qunut nazila, where he got stuck, and then he continued the salat, then the sajda sahwa is not necessary.
Alright, we go on further, inshallah. The next question is with the subs. It says, commemorating the birth of Nabi Kareem Salman and wearing one's best and rejoicing at it, is this in some practice and is this part of the sunnah?
To speak about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is laudable, rewardable, praiseworthy, encouraged. And this should not be done only in the month of Rabiul Awwal, and this should not be done with specifications attached to it. Anything in Sharia which has been left general should be left completely general. And by us adding specifications to a general activity will tantamount to that activity becoming an innovation and bidah. So that which the Sharia has left open-ended, we should also leave it open-ended. Why is it that in the 12 Islamic months of the year, we only want to talk about the beautiful conduct and noble pattern behavior of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Rabiul Awwal? We should make it a point that in every month, in every week, on every day, we should be talking, lecturing about Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's qualities, and we should be exploiting all avenues to promote what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought for us and preach and propagate his noble sunnah every hour of the day, not restricted to Rabiul Awwal. Whether you call it by one name and call the public for that jalsa or that gathering by another name, and you do it only in the month of Rabiul Awwal, it is like 6 and a half dozen of the other. So you should not only hold these celebrations and these festivals and these commemorative activities in the month of Rabiul Awwal. To have these functions only in this month tantamounts to becoming innovation, irrespective who does it, where it is done, and to justify something is even worse. So our suggestion is that we should be speaking about the life pattern and the way of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only in Rabiul Awwal but in every month, week of our life.
All right. Mr. Abdul Zakla, we have our final question for tonight. It says, Salams, when one is bidding the Umrah Qaza, what intention should be made? And he's got another question, will come to that. What is the answer to this, Mufisa?
Umrah Qaza.
Yeah.
Umrah Qaza or Umri Qaza?
Umri Qaza, sorry.
Wondering now, there is something called Umrah Qaza. Umri Qaza, what intention? For example, a person, he should calculate how much or how many salah he owes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, he says that I owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 1,000 fajr. Now when he starts, then he will say, Ya Allah, I'm going to perform the first of those that I missed. And then after that, he can just carry on performing the Fajr, Qaza, Salat until he completes the 1,002 rakat unit.
Alright. And Mustafa has got another question as well. It says, if someone is working and they have a grandchild, now can someone else pay the child's school fees? And if yes, what intention should be made? Sadqa, Zakat, Lillah, or what? If other says, I don't know how much she earns, but she is in a lot of difficulty.
The last statement says a lot of difficulty, which will obviously denote and indicate to the fact that zakat can be utilized. Now, here, the interesting law of Islam is that zakat is not obligatory upon nabaligh, meaning not mature, Islamically not mature children. But nabaligh children can receive, be recipients of zakat. And the nabaligh grandchild at the moment can receive zakat, provided obviously that that nabaligh child is not a sahib nisab, meaning that does not have so much of assets by way of monetary assets or property assets or gold or silver above the value of nisab. And the question alludes to the fact that that child does not seem to have that amount of assets, so that child can be given zakat and the fees of that child can be paid via zakat. However, I must say clearly here that I personally am not happy about funding circular education via a usage of zakat money. I am not personally, this is my view, that I am not pro and I do not sanction the utilization of zakat money for circular education.
Alright, Jazakallah Musa, very clear, you have made it indeed. And we have one final question. It says, Salam to Ulama. My dad is 80, who wants to be sexually satisfied 3 times. Abayam Sawatul Jew will answer this question of M. And alright, our final question for tonight is, what is a sunnah way of wearing the turban?
The sunnah way of wearing the turban?
Yes.
Obviously, that these days we find that even unfortunately, people are identifying themselves into the tasawwuf groupings by let alone their wearing of turbans in a particular fashion and method, but even by wearing of hats. That when you look at a person these days and when you see the type and the shape and the color and the pattern of hat and design of hat, then you can make out that this person here is aligning himself to a certain tasawwuf grouping. And this is not conducive to Muslim unity. And even the turban wearing, when you see a person, and immediately you can make out that this person is aligning himself to a particular tasawwuf grouping. Meanwhile, that on the turban, it is mustahab to wear the turban. It is good, preferable, like, desired. And a person should wear it neatly on his head and let the fold or the flap between his shoulders. It should not be very, very long.
Alright, Mr. Jazakallah for that input. We really appreciate your time and your effort. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala make this contribution a means of your success in the Akhirah. And join us next week, same time, Mr. Sir. Jazakallah, remember us in the du'as as well.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.